for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bro Wrestling Show. Hey guys, and welcome to this week's episode of the Bro Wrestling Show. Logan's here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about wrestling. I guess we'll just go ahead and start off with Raw.
Yeah.
Typical Raw kickoff. We had Angle and Corbin. Well, actually, no, sorry. It wasn't Reigns kicking off. It was Reigns interrupting, so he switched roles a little. Well, no. He's been interrupting, too.
Yeah, it was the same stuff.
It was one of the two openings that you could possibly have on Raw. Mm-hmm. Angle and Corbin kicked off. Reigns interrupts. Angle makes impromptu match. This was just a long, slow, boring match, too.
Yeah. Corbin is just not interesting as like a one-on-one competitor.
Yeah. Like, his best moments, he was kind of background, mm-hmm. like, in bigger matches.
Yeah, it's so interesting how it's like, it seems like he can't, like, bring anything to the table, like, in a one-on-one singles environment, but as soon as he is like added to somebody else's match, then like he's like the extra piece that's needed. Mm. It's one of the strangest phenomenons, I think, going on in wrestling today. Is the whole Baron Corbin situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I really thought like this new gimmick was gonna work for him.
I think it's working in that, he's in a better spot than he was immediately after the, Superstar Shakeup. If you recall, he was feuding with like No Way Jose and stuff like that.
Right.
So he's at least on TV every week and doing stuff with like Finn Balor or Roman Reigns and the like, so it's certainly not working in that like it's good or whatever, but you know it's something, and I don't know, I still think there's room to grow in the role. I wonder if it should be as a not as a purely like on guy who doesn't wrestle, but like I feel like he should stop wrestling every week. And I don't know, they should let him do more dastardly things. Like, I don't know, like, it seems like the only thing he does is, he occasionally makes semi, like annoying situations for the baby faces and then like trolls Kurt Angle. And it's like, I don't really hate you. I just kind of find you annoying.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, naturally, Balor gets involved, and mm-hmm. Reigns wins, and Baron Corbin and Balor have another match at another pay-per-view.
Yep.
And so this is just going to be an overfilled card, basically. With filler matches that aren't important and are terrible.
Mm-hmm. But at least it seems as though they aren't going to be doing the Raw tag titles.
No?
Well, I mean, unless they pull something next week, they've announced the title match next week.
Oh, they're. That's probably. I don't know. Maybe they'll make it a fatal four way, but that's. Fatal four way is better than a triple threat.
Like, it's different than a triple threat, at least.
Yeah, I guess. Up next, we had Bobby Roode versus Mojo Rawley. And as much momentum as Mojo Rawley was about to, or was having, or starting to have, or. I mean, this is the best push he's probably had of his career thus far, and just as fast as it started, it is now dead.
Yep.
In a super unspectacular match. So, that happened.
Yeah, I found that interesting, you know, trying to get over a new heel that kind of stopped him dead in his tracks. It's like, I don't know, like, this time last year you were having Jinder Mahal beat Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, back to back to back to back to back. I don't know if that was six. And, you know, it's, I would say Mojo and Jinder were kind of in the same, not even in the same spot, because Mojo wouldn't have been as damaged as Jinder Mahal. Mojo is still, in the eyes of a lot of people, like, a pretty new, character. He's either been insignificant or, like, hasn't been used. So he wouldn't have had, like, the stink on him that Jinder would have had. And they just decided one week that they were going to push him. I don't know that Mojo beating Bobby Roode, especially, like, dull as dirt, ice cold Bobby Roode, is that hard to buy, and I don't really see how it benefits Roode to beat somebody who's unproven, and it certainly just, like, kind of kills Mojo's momentum.
Well, the best thing that they could have done is, like, a roll-up or something like that, and just, like, the wily veteran, you know, gets one over on the young guy, and then the young guy goes insane and just, like, pounds him.
Yeah, because that gives him something to do for a little bit. I actually like that, but he just, it's not the route that he took.
Like, nope, he countered the whatever the hell, and next we have the Elias documentary. And probably not the worst part of the show.
Certainly not.
Just Elias's interactions with the crowd are really just fantastic. And I finally got around to listening to his album. I don't know if you've caught any of it.
I haven't.
It's actually really funny. I mean, it's definitely not going top 40 or anything like that, but it's funny. Like, you just it's not to be taken seriously. Like, very clearly. Lashley gets involved. Elias tries to make a cheap shot and gets the delayed vertical suplex, and Bobby Lashley just really needs a different finisher.
Yeah.
And Elias really just needs a real feud.
Yeah, he needs a feud where he can pick up some wins.
Or just a win. I mean, anything. I'll take it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Up next, we've got Titus O'Neil versus Rezar.
Yep.
Don't care about these guys as a tag team. Don't care about them as singles competitors.
Nope, sure don't.
And then we have Braun Strowman versus Jinder Mahal, which I want to say started off with the Kevin Owens show. Which
it did.
Which is great if you you've ever seen any of have you ever seen any of the Kevin Steen show? It'd be kinda cool if they decided to do something like this regularly. Although I feel like Strowman would just tear his set apart every month or every week.
That could be the joke.
That could be fine too.
Yeah.
Basically, everything gets destroyed. Owens tries to steal the briefcase. Mahal gets whacked and a DQ win.
Mm-hmm.
And then Braun goes on to yell about how he's a coward and, well, both of them, I think. I don't remember who he was yelling at. He was yelling and they were showing Jinder Mahal, but I think he was talking to Owens.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All in all, okay segment.
Certainly not the worst thing on the show.
Up next, things actually start getting, like, pretty decent. We've got Seth Rollins versus Ziggler and McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman is informed that he cannot get involved as Rollins' partner.
Yep.
Which leads to the We Want Ambrose chance.
Did they think anything else was going to happen? I mean, maybe it's all part of the, since he, you know, he's likely coming back either at SummerSlam or the week after, and maybe they were just trying to get people's minds racing. Who could this be? Oh, Ambrose. That'll be fun. I don't know.
Right. I think people were fully expecting Ambrose to show up for that match.
Mm-hmm.
This segment, however, ends with Roman Reigns cheap-shotting Corbin in the ribs. Because babyfaces should always whine and cheap-shot heels to get mm-hmm. over with the audience. And yep. Seth Rollins has to go it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, as good of a... This really was as good as a handicap match can be.
Yeah.
It was a handicap match, but it helps put heat on Ziggler and McIntyre, which I think was mm-hmm. fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're still like the hottest thing going on the show right now. So
yeah,
which is again perfectly fine. This is like the perfect feud. Now, if we could get mm-hmm. Ambrose in there too, I think it'd mm-hmm. I think it would only improve. So up next, we have the B Team versus the Revival. And the B-Team has new music.
Yes.
I haven't decided yet if I really like it or if I really hate it. What were your thoughts on it?
It fits them. I just wonder. It'll probably... I feel like it'll probably be fun for a little bit, but then depending on how you feel about the team is how you'll feel about the entrance and the song.
Well, it appears that they've gone all in on comedy now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I still don't necessarily know if that's a good thing. Although, looking at the landscape of the Raw tag division, it might just be the only thing.
Right. That's just,
So.
Yeah. So, yeah. The leaders of worlds get involved, lights go out, and they replace each team's partner, or each current active wrestler's partner,
mm-hmm.
and sets up the triple threat for next week, you said, I think?
Yeah, I think I saw that.
I feel like this could 100% end up being a thing at SummerSlam anyway, though.
Oh, it does not need to be.
Up next, we had Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman sit down for interviews. Separately, of course.
Of course.
Roman Reigns was more of the same. Heyman's interview was something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of trying to set up his acting career, perhaps?
Potentially.
What did you make of this? Like, I don't know. Like, what were your thoughts on, like, this segment? This was an interesting segment. Mm-hmm. Specifically, like, the Heyman part. I don't really care about Roman.
Right, yeah. I mean, with Heyman, we usually get, you know, somebody who's kind of in control of the situation, you know, and it was different for them to put them in this, I don't know, he was kind of like all over the place, and he was paranoid, and he was like rambling, and it was good. I think it kind of like it adds to this, like, I don't know, you don't really know where Brock is right now. It kind of like makes Brock somewhat interesting too, because it's like he's not just the muscle behind Heyman's mouth. It's like, you know, Heyman or Brock's kind of like unchained now. So yeah, I don't know. It's, I'm begrudgingly getting back into Lesnar. Like I for the first time, I think the next time I'm going to see him, I'm going to actually be not super disappointed.
Yeah, until they let him win again.
Yeah, until the match happens.
Are you like, is there like a, maybe a 30% chance that you think that he could actually win at SummerSlam again?
Oh, I feel like there's a good chance. Whether or not he leaves the show with the belt, I think he absolutely just cannot leave the show as champion. Like, please, 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 even if you bring him on as like a match by match basis contract, like he doesn't need to have the belt. Just if, when and if he wants to wrestle, just bring him in to wrestle. It doesn't have to be for the belt. And it adds a little extra spice to the pay-per-view. You can still have your title matches, and then you have your, like, Brock match.
There's a lot of speculation circulating right now that he's bringing that belt to the MMA.
I know.
But, you know, it could just be speculation.
Mm-hmm.
I
do kind of feel like if they do let him beat Roman and the show ends without anything else, they have some splaining to do with why Strowman didn't cash in, unless Owens somehow steals the briefcase from him earlier in that night.
Well, then Owens could cash in.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of feel like Roman's either beating him or a cash in is happening.
I hope so. I just really, they need to take, yeah, man, if there's still a belt on him after next week, I'm going to be upset.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, we have Sasha Bailey versus the Riot Squad.
Yeah.
And Riot Squad did well doing heel things.
Mm-hmm.
Match had good energy. But the highlight was Ruby Riot's return.
Yeah, the Riot Squad is the Riot Squad again.
And hopefully these backstage segments will improve and quit being so off.
Yep. They'll probably be the same, but at the very least, like, the person that, like, the group is kind of themed after is there, so it won't quite seem so off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's like I said before, it's just so very, like, Avril Lavigne. Hey, mm-hmm. You guys want to go crash the mall? Hey, you're hard. You're right. Yeah, I'm glad to see her back, and hopefully they'll give her something good for SummerSlam and not just a tag match against the mm-hmm. Boss and Hug connection, which is a shirt now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so the main event of the night, we had Ronda Rousey versus Alicia Fox, which started off with Bliss dumping on Rousey and putting over Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Fox does her best to be as entertaining as ever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this, she constantly runs with, like, whatever mm-hmm. she's given.
Yeah.
And her with Alexa Bliss being the best talker in the women's division, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit beyond that, is a pretty good combination.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa is ultimately interrupted by the entrance of Ronda Rousey and Natalya.
Mm-hmm.
And Rousey goes on to just dismantle Fox. So that's where the whole Fox getting over goes away.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily she just kind of fills in the Mickey James role here. But I don't know. I thought everything from this segment was exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah. Did you feel like the timing was off after the match? Like maybe Ronda wasn't supposed to be able to talk as long as she did? Because she's a terrible talker, but like
mm-hmm.
this was kind of even beyond that.
Yeah.
It really felt like she wasn't supposed to be able to finish the sentence because it sounded like a really, like, I don't know, generics being nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's anytime she's on the mic, it seems like it's kind of it's kind of like weird at best.
But even like the timing of the attack and like the reaction to it just seemed kind of like, oh, maybe this wasn't supposed to happen exactly like this. Like mm-hmm. Natalya didn't really like seem to react to it the way that you would think she would.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like the whole ending segment seemed kind of like awkward, and I don't know. The fact that she just brushed Alexa off was kind of good too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else about Raw that you wanted to talk about? Anything I might have missed? I mean, I probably missed a lot, but it wasn't that great. So yeah.
We covered pretty much everything on the show. I'm just a thought has occurred to me. What if it's not Ambrose that comes back to save Rollins? It's the last person he actually teamed with, and it's Jason Jordan.
Word on the street is they're putting Jordan and Gable back together.
That's good, because they've missed their opportunity to do that.
Have they?
Well, like when they spent like 3 or 4 weeks having Jinder like bully Chad Gable, and it's like Jinder is like cheap shotting him, and he has like the goon, you know, with him. That could have been an opportunity to bring Jason Jordan back. They didn't miss it in that, like, oh, now they can't do it, because they could just do it anytime.
Right.
And it'd be fine. But that would have seemed like a natural time to have done it, because it was like shortly after the Superstar Shuffle. And now the next time you see Gable on TV, it's going to kind of be like, hey, guys, expect Jason Jordan soon.
Right.
You know, whereas before it was like, I don't know, like, you don't know if they're just trying to find something for Gable. You don't know if they're just feeding him to Jinder. And then the reunion there would have been a bit more of like a surprise, and I think might have lent itself more to getting over, which I still think they could probably get over with just having good matches. But
no, yeah, I'm not going to, like, I don't care. As long as they put them back together and quit like wasting them, like that'll be good if we can get some like revival
in American Alpha matches.
Yeah. If that's what like comes of it, I don't really care how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
The stories are all going to be bad no matter what. So even if they did like have a story that made sense, it would still be bad.
Because
that's what they do. So moving on to SmackDown.
Yeah.
This was another, like, pretty strong show.
The A show.
Randy Orton, as a heel, is just continuing to do his best work.
He's working.
He really seems to be, like, reinvigorated. It's fantastic. This was, like, a great opening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was a very, like, go to like, you don't respect me. I'm like, everybody loves you. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're not Hideo Itami.
Mm-hmm.
Where the only word in English you know is respect.
Mm-hmm.
That was, and that's just me, like, looking for something, just cynical irritation with, you know, just.
No, I think that's a good point. And WWE is. it amongst, you know, one of the more aggravating things that they do, it's when a guy is fresh off a heel turn, they oftentimes have a tough time justifying it, and they went with like generic reason number three or whatever, and it's the fans don't respect him, and it's like, no, like I don't know.
The like, fans didn't respect you when you like weren't taking it seriously at all, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that was your fault. That wasn't because of Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, but even then, like, Randy Orton's a guy who can get a pop by just throwing his arms in the air, you know?
Right. The oops. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, I might have just made that guy into a quadriplegic, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. It's... And, like, I don't know. Like, there's got to be a better reason. But I guess it's minor gripes because everything else is fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of nitpicking for the sake of nitpicking, but it does bother me sometimes when I feel like they're not, like, fully conscious of their, like, characters.
Yeah, then this specific like thing, it just kind of seems like an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could just hate Jeff Hardy. He doesn't have to like feel disrespected by the fan. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Especially when they like have history.
Yeah, it almost feels like the pipe bomb, but not as good. Where he's like, "You guys are the problem."
Mm-hmm.
You're buying all the merchandise. I'm like, oh, at least that was good. Like, this isn't like the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I can stop beating that dead horse now. Charlotte and Becky versus the Iconics.
Yeah.
And this was a complete waste of the Iconics again. So that's what they're going to be used for.
Yeah, I wonder if this is like a, they feel like the Iconics are safe. Like, they can just decide any week that they want that they can start like using them. Like, they feel like they're safe, or like this is where they value them. It's tough to get a read on them.
Right. Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed thus far though.
I'm starting to lean towards this is just kind of where they value them right now.
Well, they don't have a lot of attention, and you would think that they'd be trying to push like more female superstars, and I guess they still mm-hmm. have time to build for Evolution, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I think like the women's division, if it could get its own show, would be great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, SmackDown's kind of like ruled by the not ruled. Ruled as in like the heels are the most dominant characters, but ruled as in like there's a lot of prominent heels. Like up until last week, when Charlotte came back, it was really just like Becky. Because Asuka had kind of not been on TV for a while. And it's like, so you have the heel champion, and then you have two, like, heel teams. I don't know. It is interesting. They have a lot of work to do, I think, to make that Evolution card credible. And not credible from, like, a talent standpoint, but credible from, like, a... okay, so you're not on TV, or you're on TV like losing right away, and suddenly you're in a prominent match on a pay-per-view. Like, why should I care? What have I been like shown to think that you like matter as anything other than like spot on the card?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I liked them. I liked the Iconics. I even like a lot of the members of the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just putting them on TV to put them on TV. Like, I don't know. They'd almost be better off just not, or like using other people who aren't like currently in a feud. Like, you don't want to get tired of Charlotte and Becky, like, before. Like, oh, they're best friends. Like, why is everybody best friends as soon as they're in a rivalry?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
They're not best friends. I mean, they might be, but I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think women care about? You think they, whatever. Moving on.
I kind of wonder if there would have been an opportunity for the Iconics to win. I mean, they're kind of teasing the Lynch and Flair are friends, like, on the surface level, but that there's clearly something there. And, like, this could have been used as a, depending on how quickly they're wanting to build it, like, you know, this could have been, like, a, they do something, like, simple and innocent, and it costs them the match.
Right.
You know?
Right, and then you have Bayley and Sasha, part two.
Well, mark our calendars. It was, what, the 31st of July that this one started?
Yeah.
So we'll see if, come the Rumble, they still haven't, like, pulled the trigger on the turn. Or not even pulled the trigger. I mean, I guess they pulled the trigger several times on the Bayley and Sasha feud.
But then they changed their minds.
Yeah.
Up next, the New Day have a hilarious segment with Renee Young, where she could not even keep a straight face.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't even know if she was supposed to, but she was cracking up pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch this?
Oh, yeah.
What was his name? What was it? Was
it was Kramer Kingman.
That's right, Kramer Kingman. The New Day. If for no other reason than entertainment, they need to stay on TV.
Yeah, for real, they are.
And together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just let Big E, like, start wrestling on it. I could let all of them wrestle on their own or, like, together or whatever, but, man, just keep them around. Don't break that team up.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's so much more mileage left in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen them do the team thing. Like, I don't know. I feel like you could just not take turns, like, make it, like, systematically and, like, predictable or mechanical or whatever, but just like every now and then, like, oh, like Big E gets in a feud and it's like the new guy, the New Day is like still there, but like it's Big E's feud,
right?
You know, or Kofi or Xavier, like that's actually, despite you know, gender kind of being at the forefront of it, that U.S. title tournament they did sometime last year, like Xavier being in it was fun for like the couple weeks, because it was still the New Day, but instead of chasing the tag titles, they were like, you know, trying to elevate Xavier to this level, and they were, you know, supporting him and stuff, and nobody was like mad or jealous, and it was just like, that's how it is.
Right.
But yeah, more of that, unless they want to take the belts off the Bludgeon Brothers, and I'm fine with that too.
Yeah,
more on that later.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that later. Up next, AJ Styles has a promo, and I might catch flack for this, but I didn't think it was very good. He seemed to be trying really hard to be like intense, but he just like kind of lost his train of thought like over and over again.
Yeah, AJ's not necessarily a bad talker.
No, I don't think so.
He's just not a strong talker. I think his best stuff has come as like when he's a heel, he's cocky, and when he's a face, it's confidence. You know, that whole dynamic. But like, I don't know. Anytime he kind of strays away from that as like the like kind of theme, the like vibe. Yeah, I don't know. I know they're trying to play on the like history these guys have, but yeah, I don't know. I kind of agree.
A lot of people are gonna say, "Oh, it was a great promo just because he yelled a lot," but like, really, it was a lot of like forced intensity.
Well, this is the stuff that Ziggler got for back when he was in his stale days. Right. He would just, whenever he wanted to cut a passionate promo, it was just him yelling.
Yeah, but he would at least like, I don't know, he seemed to like stay on subject instead of like bouncing around to a lot of different things while he was doing it. Like Ziggler on his bad days is a better promo than AJ on his good days.
I feel like they're a little bit closer than that, but Ziggler probably is overall better on the mic. I'd say I find AJ's better promos better than Ziggler's worst or average promos, but I think I would find the average Ziggler promo better than the average Ziggler promo.
So they should probably just let Joe do the talking, because honestly, his reactions watching the video were better than this like talking segment was.
Yeah, just let Joe do the talking and let AJ wrestle.
Next, just to continue the trash, we've got Lana versus Zelina Vega, and this needed to go on 2 weeks, you know, for no reason. The most unfortunate part of this whole thing is that like Almas is now like a prop in like a background of a silly domestic dispute.
Yeah, well, so it's not even that he's that, he's like the prop to a background piece,
right?
To like a breakup feud,
right?
It's like it's still about Rusev and Lana and English, so it's like even though Vega was like the opponent, like she's the prop. And Almas is like the side piece to the prop. But hey, if we get Almas and Rusev out of this, that could be a fun match.
Yeah, they're probably going to do like some kind of mixed thing and then move on to Rusev and English, though.
Although English was, he got involved with, he's the one that got involved with Almas, so that might be the thing that we get.
It doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. It's all exactly the same, because before that even happened, like Rusev and Almas were going back and forth, so they'll just do whatever they want to anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It's all gonna get screwed up by one person.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because it's about the Rusev Day trio.
Up next, we had a Ron Killing sighting.
Yes.
And these are hilarious.
Yeah.
He wanted to win the U.S. title by pinning Carmella.
Yeah.
But he did not want to match with Renee Young.
Mm-mm.
Because that's crazy.
Well, in his defense, you know, the last 2 weeks of SmackDown, somebody's beaten Carmella and gotten a match at SummerSlam, so...
Right.
The logic's there.
That's fair. That's fair. He wasn't on TV for so long, like I want to say like the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks, he's just been like on and fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just in the, like these random segments.
Yeah.
And then...
No, he's kind of been entertaining in this, like, when he's not like overused, like this little bits like this, like when he I think it was a Royal Rumble he ran out with like a ladder or something like that. I don't know if I'm making that up. Sounds like something or he did
where he thought he was in the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah. Just stuff like that. It's good. R-Truth is good in small doses. And I have to say it like that because it's not that, you know, we're not that far removed from like the Golden Truth, where they were on TV pretty regularly. And
but we got Breezango out of that, so worth it.
Did we? Is that how they came to be?
I'm pretty sure.
All right then.
Maybe not, but I think so. Yeah, because R-Truth was trying to tag with Tyler Breeze, and then because Goldust was trying to tag with R-Truth, and then because remember Ron Killings was R-Truth, sorry. Came out with like the random branch like for a selfie stick and like all this other stuff.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And he just like wouldn't acknowledge him, and then somehow like Breeze and Fandango ended up like together.
Yep, that's correct.
But yeah, that's 100% what happened.
The branch, yep, I remember the branch. It was a literal selfie stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Good times.
Cool.
Were you really disappointed that you didn't get to see Tyler Breeze teaming with Seth Rollins?
Yeah, like once they teased that, I was like,
this is all I want to see now.
I was like, CrossFit Breezes. Yeah. It was what the internet was calling this team that never actually happened, but no, that would have been great. And then when it wound up being a handicap match, it was like, but Breeze wanted to be his partner. What happened to that?
They're just gonna continue to misuse and ignore Tyler Breeze and the fact that he's actually like a good competitor and not just a comedy act.
Yeah.
But that's fine. So all of this led to R-Truth getting his match against Shinsuke Nakamura, because Shinsuke Nakamura apparently said something so awful that R-Truth could not repeat it on television.
Yep.
Up next we have a Miz interview where Saxton gets dumped on, as he should be. This feud continues to hit on all cylinders, and the Miz has all of the intensity that AJ does not.
Yeah.
And I liked where they added in Brian attacking the Miz on the set of Miz and Mrs. Like, they shoot that show live. Like they're still shooting. Like, she's pregnant in all the episodes. You're not on the set. Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
She hasn't been pregnant in, like, a month. That's fine, though. Details. But yes, yeah. I'm very excited. So this match is now official for SummerSlam. Apparently it wasn't before then, but now it is official for SummerSlam. And I am very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know what else to... This has just been, like, the perfect feud. And this is a case of, like, how taking time and building a feud like should be done, and not like certain other feuds on certain other shows.
All of the feuds on all the other shows. No.
Well, at least most feuds are, you know, regardless of how they start and how they build and how they end, are usually just relegated to like a month or two. I was specifically referencing the Bailey Sasha one.
Yeah.
Where length of storyline shouldn't be confused with quality. Whereas this stuff has been going on since the start of the brand split. You know?
Yeah.
And for the bulk of this feud, like, Brian hasn't even been an active competitor.
Yeah, it almost feels like it should last longer than it's probably going to.
But on the same note, I guess, he has been active since WrestleMania, and it's just now turning his attention to the Miz. You know, I don't know that they could have believably like put that off longer. You know, if Miz was like the obvious, you know, first person that he would have wanted to go after. Like, it's been a couple months now. Like, you know, I think timing is pretty good with this.
Yeah, you got a big show, and, you know, they didn't, you know, do it right away, which they, you know, have trouble being patient sometimes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So, yeah. After that, we have our Ron Killings. I keep calling him Ron Killings. R-Truth versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yep.
And I had low expectations for this match. I actually kind of expected that as soon as, like, Truth was done with his little thing, he was going to get a Kinshasa to the face, like, as soon as he turned around.
Yeah.
But he got in a decent amount of offense in.
This match was, like, everything it needed to me. It's like when Nakamura had that match with Dillinger.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the right guy won. It wasn't too long. They gave the other guy a little bit of shine, and then ultimately, you know, Nakamura takes him out. It was exactly what it needed to be. The only thing that I question about it is what happened to Nakamura's kind of overlapping storyline with Orton and Hardy.
Right.
Like, there was no reference to that at all. So is he involved in that, or is he not?
And yeah,
if he isn't, he's the one with the belt, so.
Right. Well, Jeff Hardy's got a match with him at SummerSlam.
That's right.
That's a thing that's actually happening, but you'd never know it. Yeah. And I think it's actually, like, kind of hurting Nakamura, too, because he's doing such a great job as a heel, but, like, Orton just happens to be doing, like, a lot better.
I know.
So it's kind of like, okay, well, he's not as bad of a guy. He's just kind of like, I don't know. After that, we had a weird Bludgeon Brothers promo.
Yeah.
And then we had a 2-on-3 squash match against 3SK.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Kozlov who looked like a knockoff Santino Marella. Some generic, like, really looked like a creator wrestler, like Samoan. Like, you were like, oh, I want to be a Samoan. And I'm going to make him look like this. That's what he looked like.
Yeah.
And, like, some guy who looked older initially when I could only see it, because they were running a freaking commercial while they were introducing the guys, like, working out backstage. I'm like, what is this? And from that, he looked like the dad from the Boondock Saints. But once they got up closer on him, I'm like, oh, no, this guy isn't 100. So, yeah, this match was exactly as exciting as you think it would be. They tossed him around a little bit, and that was that. And the main event, and actually, like, a deserving, very good match, with the exception of one spot that just really bugged the hell out of me. The Bar versus the New Day.
Yeah.
And the one thing that really bothered me is, did you see the white noise and how off that was?
Yeah.
It was really bad.
But, well, you try not to think about that sort of thing.
Yeah, outside of that, I mean, I know he's not really supposed to do it to him, but, like, come on.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, at least look like you're doing a 2-on-1 move to somebody. It's fine, though. I was a little bit disappointed by the outcome of this match, not because I have anything against the New Day, because I obviously am, like, a big New Day fan, but I really just didn't want to see them get torn apart by the Bar again, or by
we've been here before, right. I do kind of expect the New Day to win, because I think the WWE remembered that they wanted to, I don't remember exactly when this this was. I think it was the news broke. I guess it's not really news, but like the headline on the dirt sheet, the rumor mill. I think it was around this time last year when they are in the midst of the Usos feud. Is that they wanted to do another like record angle with the New Day, and that was title reigns. So that's why they kind of traded back and forth with the Usos so much. And now they've been just kind of away from the title picture. I don't know. I wonder if there was smoke to that. It was just a little like, you know, far off. Like that was something that they wanted to do in that. It was something that they wanted to do, not necessarily something they wanted to do now. And maybe now they're gearing up to start loading them up on Reigns. I don't know exactly what the mark is for title reigns for
isn't it nine?
A team. Is that what it is?
I think it's nine. I think it's still the Dudleys.
Okay. I was like, because it's...
I mean, you can Google it, but I'm pretty sure like they've made such a big deal about that.
Okay.
I want to say it's nine. And the Hardys might be the second closest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Hardys might actually have it too. I'm not really sure. Or if they're tied, it could be. But I want to say it's nine.
Okay. Well, it's really like any number they want it to be because they make up their own stuff.
Right.
Like Flair winning the world title 16 times isn't actually the record. It's like, I think most wrestling historians point to it being Lawler with some like uncountable like 40 something reigns, but.
Right.
But those, anyway, yeah.
Those were just the territories though.
Yeah, territory days.
And I mean, I don't think they acknowledge like Bruno Sammartino's like the fact that he carried the belt for like 12 years
mm-hmm.
and like defended it every weekend or right. every day at mm-hmm. a freaking MSG.
They do and they don't. They don't in that it's such a kind of ridiculous record that they aren't even going to pretend like it's something to be attainable. But anytime that there is like a lengthier title reign, they'll refer to it as like the modern era. That's what they did with like Punk. That's what I think they've mentioned with Brock a couple times.
Right.
They're the longest reigning champions of the modern era, which takes them past Bruno's long reigns, takes them past Hogan's like 6-year reign.
Right.
Stuff like that. That's the workaround for that. Like Backlund had the title for a long time too.
Yeah, that's fine. Why not?
But yeah,
Brock's the face of the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where I feel like they're doing with the New Day here is I think they're gearing them up to start chasing some reigns.
Roman Reigns?
I wouldn't be upset at that.
Put him in the tag division where he belongs.
Yeah.
He's a great hot tag.
He was a great hot tag.
Yeah. So anything else you wanted to talk about on SmackDown?
I wonder where this leaves the bar.
Yeah, they were. I really wanted them to come in and win because they were
fresh and like they were fresh in that they like haven't been beaten by the Bludgeon Brothers, and they're also fresh in that by virtue of not having been on TV for a while, they were just fresh in general from like that capacity. So we'll see what is, you know, in store for them. I'm hopeful that it's not just another kind of Uso situation where they're on the sidelines until they're needed to like put somebody over.
Right.
It's like, I wonder why they loaded up the SmackDown tag division. The tag division is so frustrating on each show. It's like Raw doesn't have anybody, and then SmackDown has too many people that they don't know what to do with. And then even with all of the people they have, their champions are the Bludgeon Brothers.
And the B-Team.
Yeah, it's just like, what?
Which is worse? You decide. At least the Bludgeon Brothers like seem like credible opponents.
Yeah, the Bludgeon Brothers have had some fun matches, but
the Bludgeon Brothers are like credible opponents. They look like they should be carrying titles, but the B team's more likable.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got like two halves of like a decent tag team.
If you combine them, you have one decent team.
So
anyway, yeah, we'll see.
Merchandise.
Yes.
Lots of good new stuff on. I don't know if you've browsed the interwebs.
I looked at WWE Shop.
There is a new shirt on there. Can you guess which one it is that I really want?
Is it the Taker shirt?
Yep.
That whole line is good. Yeah. At least those three that they just put up.
Yeah, Undertaker, Honky Tonk Man, and Roddy just got the shirts. And I really want the video game like 8-bit graphic Dusty shirt, but they don't have it in my size.
Oh, bummer.
It's discontinued.
Ah.
So Fall A's got a Bullet Club style shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it says Bad Luck, says F 'em.
Yep.
Scott Steiner's got some fantastic shirts right now.
He does, yeah. The Einsteiner one was one that I
like the 141 and 2/3% chance of winning.
Yeah, it's I like that he's got a good sense of humor about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because he really seems like an idiot when he talks. I'm really surprised. He might not even get it.
So, yeah, he seems like an idiot when he cuts a promo, but like...
No, he sounds like an idiot in interviews, too.
Does he?
Yeah, okay. They were cutting an interview with him about how he would fix the WWE, and he basically spouted off all this, like, crazy shit. And then he was like, but I'd never work with them again, unless the money was right. Ha 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 ha.
Oh, okay, so maybe just, like...
No, he's dumb.
Conversations outside of wrestling.
He might be the dumber of the two Steiners, too, which is sad.
He was on the news once because there was like a shooting by his Shoney's restaurant outside of Atlanta. And he was on the news because he was like a witness. It's like, oh, he doesn't seem like a super dumb guy. But I guess it's because he wasn't talking about wrestling.
The one thing he should understand, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Great business guy, but you know, as far as wrestling goes, the guy's a total dummy.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, I liked, but those were both the shirts that I was actually. Did you see the new one this morning, the Jay Lethal Brothers from Another Mother?
Yeah, with Lanny.
Yeah. Jay White's got a new shirt, This Is My Way, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Tennille Dashwood has her own sunglasses.
Yeah, I saw that. She did some thing over the weekend that, like, Corey and Renee and maybe somebody else went to.
They brought back, and I feel like this was already a shirt, but the Zack Sabre orienteering with Napalm Death shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Which I still like all of his shirts, too.
Yeah.
They brought back the John Cena Beware of Dog shirt.
Yeah.
Which I didn't understand, but that's fine.
I feel like when they bring back those shirts, they sell well. Not that one, no. But anytime they bring back
they brought back the Mankind or the Dude Love one.
Yeah, the retro shirts.
And they combined like the Mankind and the Cactus Jack in it too, which was cool.
I think people are into that.
There's a Boss and Hug Connection shirt.
Yeah, I guess that's the name of the team.
But the best thing on the WWE shop right now, currently, are the championship title sunshades.
Sunshades.
God, it's like they're Gene Simmons or something. They're just going to license everything. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because I was in a Dollar Tree the other day and they had WWE cigarette lighters. Pretty sure that R-Truth was the only one that they had in stock.
That's fitting.
All right, any other shirts, merchandise?
I don't think so. I think we covered all the good stuff.
Yeah, I haven't personally purchased anything new. I got an Andre the Giant shirt, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
see what they have at the stand next week.
They cost too much at the actual shows when they're on TV.
They do. Yeah, they like up them from house show prices, and house show prices are already like slightly upped from the store. At least you don't have to pay like $8.
No, shipping. You don't pay the shipping and you don't pay the tax on it, so it's not as bad. Yeah, I haven't added any new pops. I've got both sets of the New Day pops.
Yeah.
All right, so what pack of cards are we opening this week?
I think when you gave me the inventory last week, we had like three was the highest count, and that was for two different packs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those, I think, were the more vintage WWF ones.
Yes.
So that would be my pick this week is that one.
All right, yeah. Let's see what we got here.
Even things out a little bit.
Coco Beware logo card.
Nice.
Danny Davis.
Mm.
Ho!
Hacksaw. Nice.
And this is actually like a really good looking card.
Nice.
I've already got a hack. I'm gonna have two Hacksaw cards. Coco Beware.
Okay.
This might be the highlight today. Virgil. Holding the $1 million championship. I've got Akeem.
Okay.
Bobby Heenan.
The Brain.
That might be a double, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Andre the Giant.
Nice.
This is a good pack.
Good pack.
Barry Horowitz. Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Jack Tunney?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Rockers. Unfortunately, it's horizontal. Haku. The Million Dollar Man. And another Dusty Rhodes.
Nice.
So this was actually a really good card pack.
Yeah.
Well. So I got a few of those that I'll be putting up. I got to decide if I want... If I want to keep my current Dusty or if I want to replace it with this Dusty, though. Pretty soon I'm going to have some decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that decision will probably just be to buy another frame. Because I'm not good about making decisions. Who's your favorite wrestler this week?
Oh, man. That's a tough one because, like... The best thing on all week was that tag match on SmackDown, and it's like, I don't know. I think I chose the bar last week, and I think I'm going to go... I know where I'll go. I'm going to go with Alicia Fox. Why not? She's always good in like a spot whenever they need her, and she's been consistently entertaining since they did the whole, like, crazy person thing all those years ago when they just decided, oh, she's just going to be a crazy person. So now whenever she pops up on TV, she's always...
Yeah, she doesn't get the credit. Like, the whole, like, captain of the Survivor Series match was fantastic, too.
Mm-hmm.
She had, like, the hat and everything.
Yeah.
She doesn't get the credit she deserves.
Nah, she doesn't get enough credit.
So, my favorite wrestler this week is Ron the Truth Killings, R-Truth.
Nice. What a week. Favorite wrestlers.
It feels like almost ironic, but, you know, it's fine. Oh, anything else you wanted to cover before we jump off of here for the week? I know you've got a big show you're going to in Greensboro next week that I unfortunately am not going to be able to attend.
Yeah, go home show. That's it's gonna be a first to me. This is the, I guess, gonna have been the closest to a pay per view.
Well, you could have gone to Survivor Series. Other than that whole, like, there were threats from ISIS thing. That was...
threats from ISIS, and like Seth Rollins had just been hurt, and it was like all but advertised that Roman was going to be winning the belt. Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's true.
And the Survivor Series with that.
I think that would have been Breeze's main roster debut match, too.
Well, Ziggler?
Yeah, which wound up, you know, being very monumental, but it would have been a fun footnote. Oh, well.
I still like Breeze.
Oh, I love Breeze.
I can't wait for him to go to the Indies and make some real money. Although I don't think he ever will.
So I wonder if he could take the character. Like, he can't take Tyler Breeze, but I wonder if whatever the heck his real name is. Or maybe he can just be like Taylor Breeze or something.
Right. He could just legally change his name and he could do whatever he wants. That's what Ryback did.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ryback.
Yeesh.
He's really doing things with his life, isn't he? I sent you that video, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of him, like, tackling the fat girl into the pool.
Yep.
And then her coming back as, like, a skinny, ugly girl.
Yep.
Way to go, Ryback.
Way to go, Ryback.
And...
Never change.
Oh, I gotta say this. My favorite moment of the entire week was not the tag match.
Mm-hmm.
It was Roman Reigns getting too slowed.
Yeah.
And then just throwing up the head, hang ten or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, shut up, you're such a doof.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that it? Are we done?
I think so.
All right. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in this week. Head over to the website at browrestlingshow.wordpress.com or check us out on iTunes, rate, subscribe, review, whatever you want to do. Also on our website, we've got links to past episodes, email, Twitter, all that stuff. So check it out. Thanks for listening.